All right. Wish to greet each one of you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Help us to be faithful to you. Give us wisdom, understanding. Help us, Lord, as we open your word, to find truth and guidance for our lives. We thank you for, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just want to thank the Lord for his goodness. Again, his mercy to us. Want to thank the Lord for his being a rock. The Bible talks about it being the rock, and we sing a song about fleeing to the rock that is higher than I. And just the stability that there is in God and knowing who he is and his character. This morning I want to open the Bible to John chapter 8. I want to begin in verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's seed, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Okay. I want to talk about this morning is, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, as we think about truth, there's a question that Pilate asked Jesus at one time. He said, "What is truth? What is truth?" Have you ever just thought about that? What is truth? Whenever we, today, there's many tell you that they'll say, "I have truth," or "I'm the truth," or "I have this," or somebody says, "Well, the Bible is true," or they say, "Well, our group is true because we've been here for so long." But what is truth? Truth is something that you cannot put in a box. It will not fit. A box is much too small to get truth in. You can't nail it down because it's truth. It just will not be put in some little perimeter that we can say, "Oh, here truth is," and then just pass it out to everyone. Truth is something that each individual must find for himself. Truth is something that you have to search for. Much like men looking for gold. You know, we've heard stories of gold rushes where someone digs and digs and digs in the ground and they finally find a little piece of gold. And so thousands of people rush to that area and try to dig. They search. They work all day. They take the dirt and the rocks out of the water and they sift it and try to find one little speck of gold. It has to be searched for. That's why Jesus, when He came, He didn't just have a little 5-minute discourse and say, here is all the truth you'll ever need. Just lay it out open right there in front of them. Say, here it is. Write this down and this is all you need. He didn't do that. In fact, many of the things that He spoke in parables. One of the things that many people say, well, He spoke in parables so that we could understand things better. But the Bible is very clear. It says that He spoke in parables lest they would see. And they would get a hold of a part of this in a false way, and it become a stumbling block to them. He spoke in parables so that we would seek to find the truth. Talked with a lady this week. She said, well, I'm wanting to buy a Bible. And I want to know which Bible has the truth. Which is the true version? I hear all of these things. All of these different people telling me that this version is truth. And I told her, I said, well, I'm probably going to surprise you with my answer, because I believe that truth is, you can find truth in any of the Bibles. A lot of the people that say, oh, this version, this King James Version, it's the only one. It is the inspired truth. It's inerrant. I've heard that all my life by people who would jump up and down about its inerrancy and then go to war and promote a war and so that they could kill their enemy. I've heard them jump up and down about how true this book is and then live in divorce and remarried condition. Just dress however you want to. Just ignoring what the King James taught them. Or what their particular version taught them. You can't find truth just because you have the right Bible. There's true things in it, but that's not true just because you have the right Bible. Truth has to be searched for. And as you read this book, with an open heart, willing to hear and listen, having ears to hear, that's one of the things that it takes. Eyes to see and ears to hear. The truth's not just going to be splattered out all over everybody. It's not just going to be handed out. You have to have ears to hear it and eyes to see it. It's just not right there on the surface. It's something that has to be longed for, searched for, in depth. So many times we have the right Bible, and we have the right religion, and we can live within that form and not have one bit of truth. Whenever you build up a foundation that isn't, that it may be based on something that's true, but without truth. You can have that. You can have several generations of people who are living their lives based on something true and never have the truth. finding the truth that one of the boys quoted a little quote. It says, God is wise not to give us all the truth in one little place. We wouldn't need God then. You've got to have faith to have truth. It goes together. It's just not something that you see. Many times we look for truth because we're looking for security or looking for a place just to lay all of our hope on so that we can have security. Jesus came and he said, the truth will set you free. One of the things that if you just look at life, we know, you know, that's what Jesus was talking about with these people, that when people yield themselves to sin, they become the servant of it. That statement is not true because it's written down in the Bible. That statement is true because it is truth. A truth is that when you yield yourself to sin, you will become its servant. The song we've sang about yielding to pleasure, listening to this voice, this siren voice of pleasure calling you, it will get a hold of you. The little song, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you far more than you want to pay. There's a reason behind that. It's not because that's just a nice little saying. It's because there is real power in sin. And we know that. That is something that is there, that is solid. And we know that. That when you yield yourself to those things, they begin to take a hold of you. And you cannot, as much as you want to quit yourself, you cannot. Because it has a hold of you. That is as clear a fact as there is in the world. People know that. That's why there's psychologists. That's why there's groups. That's why there's Alcoholic Anonymous. That's why there's all of these things in the world. Because they know there's a power that's a hold of these people greater than themselves. It's real. It's real. But you would never imagine that when you see all the lights, when you hear all that pleasure, that siren, that sweet little voice calling you to start down a path. You'd never know that. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that once you start down this path, you know, people do drugs and, yeah, boy, it really feels nice. This is neat. It makes me lose all of my problems. I don't think about my problems. I can just leave all that behind. And it makes me feel so good. I don't feel any pain. And it's fun. But when you start down that road, the next time it's not as fun as it was before. So you try it again and again and again and again. And it gets a hold on you, and then you can't even quit it when you want to. Then it becomes a burden, a chain that you can't get rid of. They don't advertise that. They don't face that truth whenever they're trying to sell you some of their stuff. They don't let you know that. And it's the same with any sin. It brings us into bondage. That's what Jesus said. He came to set us free. We hear that. We've heard about it. But how do you get a hold of it? How do you get a hold of this freedom? For one thing, it's not a freedom so that you can then just go do whatever you want to. That's not the kind of freedom he's talking about. The freedom is to be a free man so that you can be what God wants you to be in the first place. Being delivered, being set free. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. To find your life, you have to lose it. By losing, you win. But you got to lose first. By dying, you can live. But you got to die first. What has to die? It's our heart. It's our will. It's our desire for ourselves. It's so liberating. This is where truth is. And you can know about this and you can say this is truth, but never understand it or never experience it for yourself. That's the problem with truth. So many people have it, but they don't know what it is. It's the same way with everything in Christianity. People trying to have a Christianity without a cross that kills them. Without a death that takes their life away so that Christ's life can live in them. Everybody talks about it. It's probably talked about more anywhere around the world than it's ever been in history. It's more talk about freedom, but less actual knowing of it. You have to let go to get a hold. You have to let go. It's like dangling, hanging on for your dear life. And you let go, and as soon as you let go, you're on solid rock. Very few people know that. That's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about forgiving. Releasing someone else releases you. It sets you free. And we strive to maintain all of these things and this justice and everything we want. And we try to maintain it. And he's wanting us to let go and die and lose our lives so that we can actually find his. So few people know that. There's people that have all kinds of experience, but they don't know this. Losing their lives to find it. That's where you find truth. You know, to lose your lives, you've got to dig down deep into your soul and find out what it is that's keeping you from having life. That's why the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Not because it's all written down perfectly in a book, but because of what it's saying, it cuts to your heart because it's the truth. The truth cuts to your heart. The sayings, the things of Jesus, they're not true because they're written down in this book. They're written down in this book because they're true. And a few men got a hold of that. And today it's turned all upside down. And it's true because it's written in the book. You can't find truth that way. You find truth because you're searching from the bottom of your heart and willing to lose your life to find it. We fight and struggle so many times because we don't want to give something up. We want to hold on to something. We just can't let it go. And we're miserable. We just fight and strive because we don't want to let go of this one little thing. And finally, you get apart, you get alone, and you just say, God, here it is. I don't want it anymore. I'm going to completely let you have control of this. If you want to take it from me, you can take it from me. I'm done fighting for it. It's in your hands now. It's now in your hands. I'm not trusting in myself trying to maintain this or keep it. I'm giving it to you. And whatever happens to it, I'm going to trust you with it. You know, whenever one of the things in my family, I wanted my family to follow the Lord. I wanted my children to grow up and follow the Lord. I wanted my wife to follow the Lord. But one day, I just said, Lord, here they are. Here they are. Me trusting in you is not going to hinge on whether they follow or not. Here they are. I'm going to trust in you. And you do with them whatever you want. I want them to follow you. I want them to bring glory to you. I want them to live for you. But they're yours. They're not mine. They're not mine. You've just given them to me for a short while to do what I can, to be the light that I can to them and help them all that I can. But they're not mine. They're not mine. They're yours. And I give them to you. I may not like the outcome. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes, praise the Lord, you give Him something and He gives it right back to you. But sometimes He takes it away from you. Sometimes He takes it completely away from you. Then what do you have? You have a faith in something much higher than anything in this world. You have something real because you still have Him. And trusting that He is in control of all this, all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And He'll add all these things to you. We can just take that and run with it. Yeah, He'll just give me everything I need after that. He'll just make my life wonderful after that. But that's not trusting Him. That's just using Him to get your life fixed up. That's selfish as someone out doing drugs. That's as selfish as someone out robbing banks. You're doing it for you. And that is sin. Until you give something away. You know the little poem or something that a butterfly came and this person claimed this butterfly. And so he captured it and put it in a little jar and called it his butterfly. And then one day he just, you know, is this really my butterfly? If I open the lid and let it go, if it comes back to me, then I have a little claim to this butterfly. But if it doesn't, I've just held it captive. And it was never mine in the first place. You got to let it go. And then, if something comes back to you, it's a blessing. A real blessing. Because it isn't about you controlling it. Or you being a slave to it. True freedom is yielding, giving, losing. And then what God gives you is good. Whether I like it or not. That's what the meaning of that verse is. That all things happen together for good to those who love God. It's because they've got to the place where they love God. And can give everything away. And what He gives them, we can say like Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the church is the same way. The church is the same way. I've often tried to, oh Lord, I want this to happen in the church. I want this to happen. I want this person to... But then I have to realize, Lord, this ain't my church. This is not mine. It's yours. And you can do with it whatever you want to. There's people that come in and they cause problems. They come in and they cause problems. There's people that want to be faithful and just give everything to you and just walk by faith. Praise the Lord, that's what we want. But it's yours. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's His. It's not ours. It's His. And as we walk with that freedom, that letting go, that dying, that losing, whatever He gives us is from Him. It's His. He came to set the captives free. We talk about that. You know, it's easy to picture, you know, a drug addict that's been hooked on drugs and they get delivered from that because they're through with it and they give up. Or the person who's an alcoholic and they just get to the end of it and they finally get down to the gutter and they just give up. And the Lord sets them free because they die. Christ came to set us free. I believe that the only reason we can be freed from anything is because Jesus died. I think that's why the strictness in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, that's why the strictness there. That if someone got bound up in something, the only remedy there was for them was to kill them. Because they were going to be bound for it until they died. They were bound to it until they died. Christ gives us the opportunity, because He died and rose again, defeating Satan and his power, that now we can be set free. And not just put to death, but reconciled. That's the message of Jesus, to be reconciled to God. We win by losing because He lost, because He died. We can now have His life. We see that because of this, men can be delivered. But I want to look at who He was talking here. Was He talking to the alcoholics? Was He talking to the drunkards? Was He talking to the wicked people? No. He told these people who were Abraham's descendants. And we've never been enslaved to anyone. Even whenever they were slaves, they were in their heart rebelling against those who were over them. They've never been slaves to anyone. They were under bondage right now. The Romans were above them in this time in history. And they were defiantly saying, "We've never been a slave to anyone. How is it you say you will become free? Why would you tell us that?" Because religion is as binding. Anything that's not truth that sets you free binds you. You win by losing. So many people are holding on to their heritage of their religion because someone 400 years ago found some truth, and now we're keeping that heritage to this day. That's not truth. You've got to lose. You're going to have to lay that all aside and seek and find the truth. It's not easy to find. So many people today sell their freedom for security. You know, there's a big talk a lot in this, you know, America, the home of the free. But if the government will give me a check every month, welfare check, food stamps, whatever, I'll take it from them. You know, I've got some of the old people. You can't give them anything. You cannot give them something. They will not take a gift. You try to, if they send you to buy something, they want to make sure you keep the change. They don't want to come up short thinking that they owe you something. Because they feel like they're in bondage to that. It was serious to them. They didn't want to owe. They didn't want to be a servant to someone else. Today, people are willing to be enslaved if someone will just take care of them. They're willing to be enslaved. They don't care. You can take away my freedom. Just take care of me. Just take care of me. I'll trust you. That's what happens. That's when men lose their freedom. Is whenever they seek security from someone else. They sell their freedom to them. And the same thing happens in Christianity. I don't know how many people, you know, you look at the Mennonite and Amish groups, they've got all their rules, they've got everything all figured out, they've got all their everything just so in order. And that is so tempting and so safe looking to people. And they sell their freedom to find it. Instead of selling themselves to trust in the living God. They find, well, we've had this many years of faithful history here. That's why we have the truth. We've maintained this where no one else has. And people are attracted to that because there's a false sense of security in it. You know, just had a picture. Faith is like walking in really cloudy where you can't see. Truth is something you can't just see. You can't just put your finger on it. And faith is walking in clouds but you're walking on solid concrete. And the only thing you're worried about is the next step going to be there? Is the next step going to be there? That's what it means, walking with God. You can't see. But then you look over here and there's seemingly a concrete path and people are walking on it. It looks real solid. But then underneath the cloud of the concrete path, that path's crumbling away. There's nothing there but one little slim layer you can walk across, and it appears like everything's just fine. But it's crumbling away underneath the clouds. But when you're walking on the faith, you can't see the road, but you're on the concrete. You're on solid ground. You're on the rock. But it doesn't seem that way. By faith, they went out not knowing where they were going, not understanding where they were headed, but trusting in the one who was leading them. Trying to nail everything down and build your own little concrete highway above the clouds is selling your freedom for a little bit of false security. You win by losing. You live by dying. You get hold of something by letting go. Those are truths that don't make any sense at all to the people trying to put something in a box. Because you can't get a hold of that. You can only follow it. Truth is nothing that you can grab a hold of and put in your hand. It's something you live by, you walk by. And so many times, we want to reach out and get it in our hand. And then, instead of us having something, it takes a hold of us, just like sin does. And then we're in bondage to it and not free. Jesus came to set us free. Security at the price of freedom. Jesus came to deliver us from those things. When you get walking on this fearful little path, straight and narrow way, stay the course. Don't sell yourself for freedom. Don't sell yourself for sin's pleasures. They're equal. They're the same. What I've found, I believe in this life, I don't believe Satan has any more power than God for us. And I believe God has limited that to the same amount of power. And the only little thing in the balance there is our wills. The only thing that swings one way or the other. Satan has us. Jesus delivered us, offered us the opportunity. He tempts us with deliverance, with goodness. Satan tempts us with wrongdoing and evil, religion. He tempts us in this one little area of truth that we can make that choice and get on Jesus' path. Stay on. Stay the course. Stay the course of faith. Stay the course of truth. Don't get drawn away into sin or drawn away into some kind of false security. Stay the course. You know, I just another thought this week is, you know how someone might offer you a once-in-a-lifetime deal? You know, if you, well, you go down, you go to the store somewhere, and you find something, and it's just marked something you've kind of been wanting for a while, and it's just cut down to 25% off, or 50% off. Let's sometimes they'll, whenever they're closing something out, they'll put it at 75% off. Okay, and you go and look at it, you think, boy, next week they'll put that at 50% off. And so I'm going to wait till next week. There's only two left, but I'm going to wait till next week. You go back next week and there's one left. You think, well, you know, next week they'll put it to 25% off. That's the way they do things. So I'm not going to take a chance. And so you walk around a little bit and you think just a little bit and you walk around the store and come back and it's gone. Somebody picked it up while you were waiting. An opportunity. And for a while, you had an opportunity to get it. You know, a lot of people use that as an opportunity. Right now, we have life is an opportunity to get what we want. We have an opportunity to find truth. It's there. It's within our grasp. Waiting on our decision to act or not to act on it. What are we going to do? On the other hand, just a little bit of an encouragement to stay the course. Temptations run the same course. Temptations run the same course. You can yield to it, pay the full price. You can yield to it, maybe a little less, maybe a little less. Or if you just resist it, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. You know, it's pretty strong desire to yield to temptation. Yield to it, yield to it, yield to it. And you don't yield. And pretty soon, it's a little more enticing. And you don't yield. And then it's a little more enticing. And you don't yield. And then it's gone. You missed out the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to become a slave because you didn't yield. That's what I'm talking about. The same thing. We only see things one way sometimes. But there's a balance out there. God is good. He's not going to keep tempting us. Just like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to buy something or once-in-an-opportunity to buy something good, temptation comes on the same level. And pretty soon it's gone, just like the opportunity. We live in a life where we don't have second chances sometimes. We don't have second chances sometimes. There's things that we do that we wish we could go back and fix, and you'll never get the opportunity to. Because we yielded. But on the same hand, as we stay the course, as we are faithful, that'll be taken out of the way. And we can be completely free from it. Trying to seek after this security is a temptation, just like sin is. Are you going to sell yourself to become secure, safe, in something that's false? Or are you going to keep trusting on that rock that truth that you can't hardly see sometimes. And many people around you can't see it sometimes. But just keep walking. When the songs talk about life's stormy sea, just keep walking on that truth, no matter what Satan hurls at you. He's just throwing everything he can. Sometimes he'll throw every. Sometimes he'll just be calm as all get out, trying to get you to drift off course. But then sometimes he'll be throwing everything he can at you. Everything he can. But just like the sail's going to be over one of these days, his time of throwing things will be over just the same. So don't yield. Stay firm. What he throws at you, he'll throw everything in the book at you, just hoping something will stick. Just something that'll get a hold of you. He'll try any way he can to get you to yield to sin on this hand, or to yield to some kind of security on the other hand, to keep you from being free. Jesus came to set us free. And if you're free, you're free indeed. Sometimes we think that if I can just get this paid for, or this bought, or this, and just build my little, I can be free. But I've found the more people acquire, the more they become a servant to it. They become a servant. I go around and have to put locks on everything, make sure everything is just totally secure. You buy insurance, you buy security to protect your stuff. You're serving it. Sometimes told the story about a man who bought a swing set, and the instructions, if you follow the instructions, it's going to take him 2 days to put it together. And then you read on, and every week you're supposed to go around and tighten all of them things. He said, I became a slave to a swing set. Just simple little thing. But he was a slave to it. Jesus came to set us free. That's the blessing that the early church, they counted out what they had as everybody else's. They didn't have just to try to keep it for themselves. That was freedom. Freedom. It's what we're all crying out for. But very few people will pay the price for it. Real freedom takes everything you got. And it's a hard thing to maintain. Because there's so many things on either side trying to bring us back into bondage. But the church is free. It's free. Salvation is free. Not like they talk about. Salvation is freedom. But it'll cost you everything you got. And that's usually too big a price for most of us. Because we're not willing just to back up and say, God, here's my wife, here's my family, here's my home, here's my property, here's everything. It's yours. It's yours. You do with it what you want. You do with it what you want. Just that simple thing. My life. My heart. My hopes. My dreams. Everything. At His feet. And sometimes in ashes lays. He is worthy. He's worthy of that kind of devotion. That's much more precious than anything on this earth. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, help us, Lord, just to yield ourselves to You, to release everything in our heart and our mind and our soul that we're trying to hang on to. Lord, that we might have that freedom, Father, that we might walk in it, that we might maintain it, that we might stay the course of freedom that You offer us. Fill us with Your Spirit, Lord, as we lose ourselves. Again, we thank You in Jesus' name. You know what? The story of Jesus coming into Bethlehem, there was no room for Him in the inn. It was full. And so many times, that's why He's not in people's hearts and in their lives. Because it's full. And we're trying to put a lock on it and hold on it and hang on to it instead of letting it go. The only time there's room for Jesus in our heart is when it's empty. May the Lord add His blessings.
Oh.